What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I love the fact that I got an email today, and this is one of those moments that just kind of grabs your attention and goes, where exactly have you been for the last, six, seven years, eight? The subject line of the email was, overturning Roe is not a single issue, but the first step to far worse. I'm going, is this really the first step? I would argue first step happened a long time ago. If you look at what our Supreme Court's been doing for the last, about 22 years, bad decisions for quite some time. This just the next in what I argue going to be several more down the line. But this is another, this is a big one, not diminishing, big one. But just the next in the class war that another segment of the population going to be harmed by. And this is why I keep saying, every time this comes up, whether it was voting rights, whether it was workers' rights, whether it was consumer rights, now women's rights, if it hasn't hit you yet, it's coming. So how about we fight now to stop this from getting any worse? And here to share some thoughts on, well, how horrible this fight is and why we should be fighting this one now so that maybe we don't have to worry about the ones down the road. I've asked Elisa Spitzer to come talk with us. She is a policy analyst with the Women's Initiative at the Center for American Progress. AmericanProgress.org is their website. Elisa, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So, you know, I see this email today, and I got to tell you, maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong on this? That, look, there are some who are going, oh, my God, I can't believe this just happened. This is so huge. It is big. It is a big thing. But it's another one of these death of a thousand paper cuts, another movement towards a repeal of the 20th century and all of the progress that generations before us fought for. It is a big one. It is not the big one. But I'm curious your thoughts.
So I think that the death of a thousand paper cuts is unfortunately apt. Since Roe was decided in 1973, there have been, I believe it's 1,338 state restrictions that have been passed in some way limiting abortion access, trap laws or, you know, variety of approaches. But this has been an item on the to-do list for people who oppose abortion access and full equality for women for a very, very, very long time. And so it is, for people who have been watching quite closely, not necessarily a surprise, particularly with the most recent appointments to the bench, but it is still stunning to see it in writing, which we all did, of course, in the leaked draft opinion.
But Susan Collins said that they weren't going to do this. She looked into their souls. They promised her this wasn't going to happen. At least I thought we had some assurance that wasn't going to happen because stare decisis, balls and strikes, or am I missing something?
No, you're not. I mean, Roe has been the law for just a year shy of 50 years. It has been in place for generations. When people think about what it was like before Roe, I at least am thinking about my grandmother and great grandmother. You're right to think that this was settled law. People were right to take that for granted. And now I think we might be entering a new era.
What do you say to the people? And I've had conversations with younger women who don't see this as kind of a hair on fire moment. And maybe this is a good thing. Maybe the younger generation feels more empowered than the older generation, with some of the women that I've talked to who see this as a real tragedy and a real, infringement on rights of future women and all of this. But what do you say to a younger generation that feels, we're not going backward. You're not going to take my rights away. Even though the law is changing, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Supreme Court's jurisprudence can seem somewhat abstract. It seems like there's a distance between what they put down on paper and what actually reaches you personally and in the depths of your private decisions and how you understand your future. I think I would just point them to state trigger laws and the state laws that will go to effect. It is expected that somewhere between 26 and up to 28 states are poised, standing at the ready to outlaw abortion when and if, we say if because it hasn't happened yet, the Supreme Court decides to overturn Roe. And, it's unfortunate if it doesn't feel real until it's real.
Yeah.
But it likely will soon be real.
Now, you couch that in terms of, maybe there's a possibility, because I keep hearing this as well. Don't get too upset. This could all change. This was a first draft, which is why, again, I think it was leaked when it was leaked. And I have a theory. I think it was a certain Supreme Court justice's wife that did it. Just my personal opinion. I have no factual basis to make that, other than maybe there was a time in the past where this may have happened, where something was leaked, but just kind of spitballing here a little bit. But it's my thought that they put this out there knowing that there's almost no way the Supreme Court can now walk back from this. They've set the goalpost. But do you think there's a way they can soften this and walk it back at this point?
So I think that technically they can do whatever they want. At this point, they are in no way legally bound or committed to anything in this draft. This was a first draft, and an early draft at very least. And I've had early drafts that look quite different from where things end up. So this is the optimist in me you are hearing. I am quite nervous. I do not really think there is much space for hope. I think that there definitely this could be made less bad on the margins. Right now, the way the draft is written, it very directly calls into question contraception and gay rights and sort of precedents that we really wanted not to touch. And
yeah, basically a repeal of the 20th century, which I've been saying for about 17 years of doing this program, that this has been the conservative wet dream for a very long time, to undo all of the 20th century and return us to the good old days of the 80s and 90s and not the 1980s and 90s.
Right. It is definitely a jurisprudence of a different era. And a different century. So I think that I am not terribly optimistic, but I do think that there are conversations and negotiations that very well could have happened between February 10th, which is the date on the leaked draft, and the present, that maybe will make it less harmful in sort of other doctrinal ways. But I think in terms of the effect on limiting abortion access, the people who will be directly hurt and forced to carry pregnancies to term, whose job prospects and graduation rates and ability to determine the course of their own lives, I think that will be real.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Elisa Spitzer. She is the policy analyst over at the Center for American Progress, where she specializes in women's initiative. You can check out their website, AmericanProgress.org. We'll get links out on social media, how you can take a look at the work that they do. You know, this is one of those things where, you know, again, people are pointing, saying, well, you know, I don't see the outrage. You know, there were a handful of people out at Kavanaugh's house. There was the rumor that Alito had gone down into whatever, some special bunker, I don't know. The Senate immediately jumped into action in the most bipartisan of terms to get special policing powers for our justices, who nobody thought was in any real danger. But, you know, hey, we had to act because you crazy women can't be trusted, evidently, to, you know, protest peacefully. And Susan Collins called the police on you, too, for putting chalk on her sidewalk, which bad chalk.
Meanwhile, abortion protesters are actually endangering people who are just trying to go to their appointments at the clinic and threatening providers and providers' families. And there is a security issue, but it doesn't, at least from what I'm aware of, seem to be primarily targeted at the court.
And this is where I was going with this, because, you know, for decades now, we've had right-wing zealots who are blowing up clinics, who are threatening people. Where was this kind of bipartisanship to protect people, actual we the people, instead of our elites back then? And this is where I struggle with all of the things, the attacks that are happening to the working class of this country. And I focus solely on the working class, and you can agree or disagree with me, because I believe that this decision will kill poor and working class women. This isn't going to affect rich women. They're going to get what they need, even if they have to leave the country to do it. They're going to have the access that they want and need, regardless, because they're going to have the resources to do it. This is going to focus heavily on poor and working class women and families, which is, again, I think part of the reason why they're doing it.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that it is just factually true that traveling, so because abortion will be unavailable in likely over half of the states, it means that people in those states will have to travel in order to obtain the health care that they need. Traveling is very expensive. Traveling is not something you can do if you can't afford childcare, if you can't afford to take time off of work, if you can't pay for the expense of abortion, which, you know, is difficult to get coverage of. It is really an economic justice issue, absolutely.
And the other part of this, the scarier part of this, is with the technology that we've seen that's already, you know, just available to anybody almost, you can find who's going where. My fear, and this is where this gets even worse for me, you look at the Texas law, the bounty hunter stuff. Do we turn, you know, hunting women and their bodies into a reality show? Is this the next Dog the Bounty Hunter thing? Is this the next money-making venture for people to hunt down you and women across this country who, you know, look at the case in Texas where the woman had a miscarriage and immediately they rush in to try and charge her with a crime? Is this the direction that things are starting to go? Not just where we're taking your right to self-determination and your health care away, but also going to that next level of persecution, prosecution, just to make points. I and also us really ratting out each other and creating even more, I don't know what the right word is, even more harassment of women in all different facets. Or am I just reading too much into this?
The threat of criminalization is very real. It used to be that in abortion prohibitions, prosecuting the person seeking care was anathema. That was not done. However, frighteningly, that might be changing. Louisiana had a statute that I believe today was actually just withdrawn, but it had been voted out of committee and actually was being discussed on the floor of the House that would have changed the definition of personhood for purposes of their criminal statute to include a fertilized egg, meaning that certain forms of contraception and abortion would actually have been qualified as murder and could have been punished as such. So fortunately, that is not on the path to becoming law, but it is absurd and it is horrifying. And sort of unimaginable things are actually under discussion.
Do you find it as bizarre as I do, the fact that there are people who are pushing to repeal this, force women to have children, and then are giving no help whatsoever that once the child is born, we're going to actually care for them? We're going to actually get, you know, women the prenatal care? Because as I understand, and obviously you're probably much more better versed at this than I am, but when you're talking about poor women, you know, in prenatal care and death in this country, we're almost a third world nation. When you're talking about women in poverty dying in this country during childbirth. And yet I don't see the Republicans and the people who are pushing this stuff moving any type of policy to change that, to get early childhood care, to get, you know, maternity leave, to get, you know, education, to get health care, to get, you know, food assistance. I see Marjorie Traitor Greene out there yelling about formula, but I don't see any legislation to help try and get any more formula out of her other than just grievance and finger painting and outrage candy. Yet here are these people, no policy aims to help once the child once we pop something out. And I find that very, very odd and very interesting.
It is true that the United States has horrific maternal mortality rates and that our supports for parents, caregivers, young children, families really are paltry as compared to equivalent countries. You know, paid leave shouldn't have been so contentious. It's phenomenal that we don't have it. Totally agree with you.
No, because here's where my thoughts are. And look, I'm just an old white guy. You know, my childbearing years well behind me. Not that I ever had any, but I would think, and again, I'm just speaking, you know, hypothetically, because I don't actually, I've never been in the position. My wife has had three children. We've got three kids. We wanted them. We planned them. You know, we were prepared for them. We you know, all that. It seems to me that if you have an environment that is conducive for people to bring children in, where you're going to have the health care that they need, it's going to be much more welcoming. They're going to get education. You're going to have jobs that are going to be able to support them. You're going to have safe neighborhoods and housing that's affordable, where you're going to have an environment that's conducive to raising children and supporting families, that's going to be much more conducive to people wanting to have children and not have abortions than saying you must. And oh, I don't know, maybe some policy, again, I'm a policy guy, saying, you know what, maybe we want to make sure that people get contraception. Maybe we want to make sure we do some education. Instead, what we get is idiotic head in the sand, abstinence only nonsense. We're going after contraception, which again, I guess that's on the table now after, you know, 50 plus odd years. And policies just literally take food out of the mouths of children. And I'm going, what kind of insanity is this? How are we encouraging people to have children in this kind of environment? Again, I ask, or am I missing something?
You are not missing anything. I think it's important that even if there were all of those supports, that should be the baseline. And then people should be free to make the decision about whether they personally want with their body to have children, if they want in the course of their life to have children. It is an enormous commitment. I speak from experience. But it is the idea that we are going to be in a situation where people are forced to give birth without those supports is especially cruel.
Yeah, and we're going to put women in desperate situations, which again, you know, I look, there's a political ideology that wants working class people desperate. They want them pliable. You know, we're moving back toward the Lochner era of wages and hours and conditions. And back, like I said, back to the good old days of the 80s and 90s and not the 1980s and 90s. Last question I've got for you. Here's my problem. I'm not seeing the kind of outrage. And again, we can go back to every one of these death of 1,000 paper cuts, where it was the attack on voting rights, consumer rights, workers' rights, all of this. The outrage that I would hope to see, I don't think I'm seeing yet. Are we going to see it? Are you seeing it? Because I think there are people who are going, well, it must not be that big of a deal. Not seeing much outrage. Thoughts?
I'm seeing outrage. I'm feeling outrage. I've been to protests. I know more are coming. And I think that the fact that this was a leaked opinion has sort of tempered it. I think the fact that a lot of us have been waiting for this day to come and fearing this day for a while maybe is part of it, that it's sort of the shock of it hasn't, there isn't so much shock really, but yeah, I imagine you'll see some more.
Damn well better, because, you know, at the end of this, I look at our political leaders. They were such a big hurry to protect the Supreme Court justices. But, man, when it comes to protecting, like I said, consumers, workers, women, we'll see. I guess this is why elections matter, and why I hope voters go to the polls angry. And I hope you go in large numbers and throw bums out and bring people in who are going to have the passions of the people to bring back policy that's going to move us in a better direction. But at least I appreciate you taking some time, sharing your expertise. And I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Spitzer, policy analyst there at the Center for American Progress. Make sure you check out the work that they do at americanprogress.org. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, ricksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. If you miss any of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Fairly important that we grab the podcast and move that right along. All good stuff. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Gary on line one. Gary, how are we doing today?
I'm as frustrated and afraid as just about everybody.
Join the club. So what's got you frustrated and afraid, brother?
Well, you asked a question just a few seconds ago, or actually you made a statement. The statement was that you felt that you're not seeing the outrage. I'm just north of Philly, and I can tell you that I don't know anyone that isn't outraged except for those who are on the right now.
Good.
I haven't met a soul. There is not a single person I've talked to that I hang out with that is not terrified of what's occurring, and I'm very clear that we're angry, we're frustrated, and we're terrified. And I'm also speaking partially as a Jewish person. These guys want to make America a Christian nation. And when I was growing up, I'm 66 now, when I was growing up and going to Hebrew school, not long after the Holocaust, about 20 years, they were telling us that this can happen again. And to be aware of it. The Holocaust can happen again. In fact, it's still happening all over the world in one way or another. Genocide is clearly happening. The other thing that I actually did want to say is that you asked a question, or actually you made a statement. You said that you don't understand why Biden would start labeling folks as ultra-MAGA. And I don't think he's talking to the left. I actually think he's talking to the undecided, the folks that are still trying to figure out where they stand. And the right wing has been extraordinarily good at calling us radical liberal leftists. And I think this is his way of going in the other direction. Just kind of like Jamie Raskin has been really tearing into the person you call Marjorie Prater Greene.
Right.
So, I think there's lots of interesting things that are going on. I'm not certain that we're in the clear. I'm absolutely certain that we're not. But I'm really hoping that we become the left becomes far more aggressive in terms of their labeling for the middle of the road.
I'm right there with you, Gary. I appreciate
the
call, man. Thanks so much. Please call back again. I appreciate it. I got
to
take a quick break here. I'm with you. I'm glad to hear there is outrage. Quick break, right back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.